Lord, we're just so grateful that hope was born that first Christmas. And we just sang the announcement of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth towards men. And so, Lord, now as we look at the biblical text, may we just get a glimpse of what happened that first Christmas, how your glory came down and shone among us. So thank you for the music, and now speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, worship team, and thank you, choir, for singing so well. It's Christmas Eve. What a historic night. We don't, obviously, Jesus wasn't born on December 24th, as far as we know, but it's the night, Christmas is the day we choose to celebrate the incarnation, God taking on flesh and becoming one of us. He didn't come with a lot of fanfare, but came fulfilling God's promises in Scripture. His plan for the ages was fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin in a stable and laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. You can't get a more humble setting than that. And yet he comes in all of God's glory. No other time in history was the glory of God revealed more than in when Jesus walked among us. Now, God's glory was shown all through the Old Testament. I've got several examples, scripture. If you were to make a note, Exodus 24, verse 16, the glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And, of course, that's when Moses got the Ten Commandments. But the glory of the Lord shone on that mountain. Then the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle in the wilderness as they moved it from place to place. 2 Chronicles 7 says, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So it filled the tabernacle, it filled the temple. John 1:14 says, there was a moment in time, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus came, we saw God's glory fully revealed. This evening, we're going to focus on the angels who made an announcement to some shepherds. Pretty classic Christmas stuff. But we just have to keep going back and trying to see it fresh and anew, and let it warm our hearts one more time this Christmas season. Let's just read what Charlie Brown or Linus would read from that Christmas play, if you're familiar with the story. It goes like this from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And they were there. The time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Well, you've all heard that story. We're going to go on and look a little more in detail of the angels coming to some unlikely shepherds to share the good news. And so we're going to see God's glory first coming humbly. It arrives humbly. Verse 8 and 9 says, "And in the same region there were shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Unassuming Mary gave birth to a baby in a little town like Bethlehem, in a stable, and Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a feeding trough. You can't arrive more humbly than that. God's glory shined in a manger in Bethlehem. David Wright writes this: "Christ was born through natural means. He was carried in the womb and was born as a helpless, vulnerable, powerless, and dependent newborn." Of course, he puts in parentheses, God supervised everything, so he was not going to be harmed. He didn't come to the earth as a conquering angel or a mighty emperor. It's difficult to think of something more humble or vulnerable and lowly than a newborn baby. Can't do anything for themselves, can they? God could have entered into this world as the angel of the Lord, "I'm arrived," or as some superhero just showing up. But he comes as a baby. Christ's incarnation was a reflection of God's character and heart. He was the utmost example to all of us as we approach and present ourselves before the Father. We arrive humbly. It's still mind-blowing to me that the first announcement made was to lowly shepherds, really outcasts. The prophet Isaiah knew that God is high and lifted up and would come alongside the humble to receive and lift them up. Isaiah 57 says, "For thus says the one that's high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. But I come alongside one who's contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." I love that. This whole thing with God announcing through the angels to the shepherds is just a reminder that God, who's holy, comes down to the lowly to revive those who would just turn to Him. The Christmas story reminds us that Jesus Himself made the humblest decision in the history of the universe. I challenge you to come up with a more humble one. Philippians 2, 6 through 9 says, "Who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus, who was high and lifted up, came alongside us and took on the form of a servant. God became flesh. Daniel Darling writes, "There's something significant and powerful about the inclusion of the shepherds in the Jesus story. Luke is reminding us by mentioning the shepherds that that the kingdom of God isn't just for insiders, but for outsiders. Like shepherds, like poor classes, like Mary and Joseph. It reminds us that the kingdom of God is often made up of not of the noble necessarily, but of the underclass, those who have no business being there. Emmanuel, which means God is with us, and God is truly among all classes of people, and He's with all of us tonight. Now, knowing the whole story, like most of us know, knowing that Jesus would grow up and he would refer to himself as a shepherd, and he would even talk about leaving 99 sheep to go find one sheep. And the shepherds who were tending lambs, who most of them were going to be sold to be sacrifices in the temple, that the first to hold baby Jesus, perhaps, besides Mary and Joseph, were shepherds. Lowly shepherds who were holding baby Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. Now that we know the whole story, maybe it's not so surprising that the angels came to shepherds to announce the story. We see God's glory arriving humbly. Second, we see God's glory announcing good news. Look at verse 10 says this. You don't have to look at it. You can't see it if you did look at it. You know the story. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, a feeding trough." So the angels told the shepherds, don't be afraid. By the way, every time angels showed up, everyone was afraid. And so the angel just said, don't be afraid. I've got great news, good news. And there are things in this world to be afraid of. And often fear enters our lives. But the Christmas story reminds us, because of what happened, that we can fear not. Good news came. And it's because of the good news that we don't have to live in fear. Just this week, the winter solstice came. It was the longest, darkest night of the entire calendar year. Although Jesus was probably not born in December, he still came at a dark time in Israel's history. It was during this dark time that angels said to fear not. Why? They announced good news of great joy for all people. For in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior was born, who is Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, who is Christ the Lord. He is in control of the universe. What does good news mean? Well, did a little study. R.C. Sproul helped me with this. This word good news is really where we get our word evangelism and has this rich background in the Old Testament. The basic meaning is it's simply an announcement of a good message. For instance, if a doctor came in and you were waiting for the doctor's report, you're hoping for good news. When there was a war or battle going on, there would always be a herald that would run with news. Of course, waiting to hear how the outcome of the battle would go. They were always, of course, hoping for good news. And we're told, actually, that there were watchmen looking for the runner, and they could tell just by their body language what the news was. If they were just kind of just shuffling along, they knew it wasn't good. But if they were sprinting and dust was kicking up, they knew good news is coming. There's an extra jump in their step. So this good news is what the angels brought. That Christ, the Messiah, has come. And he's to be the Savior of the world. God came in the flesh for all people. The babe in the manger, born in the city of David, the long-awaited Savior, Christ the Lord. The good news, the gospel, the glory of God is a baby in a manger. Don't miss that it's not just a baby. The baby is God's glory. Holman commentary said this, joy comes not just to lowly shepherds or isolated parents far from home. Joy comes to all people in the most unlikely place and amongst the most unlikely spectators. God brushed aside the world's fears and provided the world reason for joy. Joy centers not on something you earn or possess. Joy comes from God's gift. Joy comes from a tiny baby in a feed trough. But what a baby. Born in Davidstown, the child clasped heaven's greatest titles in his small fist, Christ the Lord. So joy comes not just to relieve our suffering, but he comes. He pierces the darkest time of his history, our darkest time. He pierces the darkness to bring salvation for all eternity. And it's at Christmas, when we're not sure about some things, that we can just sit back and, like Mary, ponder these things, treasure these things deep down in our heart. And when our world's going crazy, we can say, but I believe this. And it becomes an anchor for our soul. We see God's glory arriving humbly, announcing good news, and lastly, prompting worship. Verse 13 says this, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. So you have these scary angels show up. They didn't mean to be scary. They're just glorious, and they're tall, and they're big, and they're surprising. They have good news. And they just start bursting out singing after the one angel, Gabriel, makes his announcement. All of heaven just shoots off like fireworks. Michael Card says, then it's as if heaven can no longer contain itself. The long-awaited prophecies have come. Glory to God in the highest, and the sky just lit up with music. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Wow. Is that even possible? The Prince of Peace has come to offer peace to all who would but submit to him. John Piper writes, but Jesus has come to inaugurate the peace among God's people. There are three relationships in which he wants you to pursue peace this Christmas. Peace with God. Peace with your own soul. And peace with other people as much as it is on you. And by peace, I mean not only the absence of conflict and animosity, but also the presence of joyful tranquility and as much richness of interpersonal communication as you are capable of. He has come to announce peace, to inaugurate peace, who will all make peace with him and peace in the deepest part of who you are. When Mary just blessed the Lord in her soul, she wasn't just singing out here. She was at peace in here. The most important thing we can do this Christmas is to make peace with God. We can't do that through doing good works or even attending a Christmas Eve service, but thank you for coming. That doesn't credit you anything really, but it's good to see you. It's a relationship with Jesus. We have to accept the Prince of Peace in our life and commit to following him. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So to have peace with God, we have to be justified by faith in Him and His character and His work on the cross. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So we confess that Jesus is Lord. That's His person. That's His character. And believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead. That precludes that He also died on the cross for our sins. We'll be saved. And you'll have peace with God. There's no greater thing, no greater peace that you can find in peace with God. And then all of a sudden you have peace with yourself and peace with others. It's amazing. The Christmas carol says, and I thought about singing it, but I'm chicken all of a sudden. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is Lord in Bethlehem. Hark, dear herald angels sing, glory to the newborn. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, and God and man are reconciled through Jesus, and there's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Charles Spurgeon writes, when God stoops down to man, it must mean that man is to be lifted up to God. You see, we can't get to God on our own. He has to lift us up by Jesus. What joy there is in this. Oh, that our hearts were but half alive to the incarnation. Oh, that we did not but a thousandth part of the unalterable delight which is hidden in this thought, that the Son of God was born a man. How did the shepherds respond? Well, when the angels went away, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And when they went, haste. And Presley, I love you. I love you, Presley. And when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them. And that all who heard it wondered at the shepherds, what the shepherds had told them. So the glory of God prompted worship from angels and then prompted worship from shepherds, and it needs to prompt worship from us. Hey, enjoy family. We're having our family Christmas on Monday. That's just the way it works out with our kids and sharing. We're going to have a meal. Oh my goodness, there's so much we do. We're going to exchange gifts. I'm so excited. I'm like a little kid. I really don't care. But I'm excited to give and to see what others have given. Listen, all that's fun and important part of the way we've grown up. You might watch It's a Wonderful Life or Elf or something. Worship. Finding time where you just ponder these things in your heart. Mary, we're going to talk about this Sunday, by the way, but Mary just treasured all that's happening in her soul. It became a part of who she was. The shepherds just didn't come to the manger and then leave. And no, they came to the manger and they were changed. Their life was never the same again. And when you meet Jesus, your life will never be the same. And it will affect you down into your very soul. So we see God's glory arriving humbly, announcing good news, and prompting worship. So, grab your candles. We're going to start to do something. Grab your small children and warn them that we're about to go dark. We're going to go darker, John. So, what we want to portray here, we've done it here before, so some of you already know what we're about to do. But we're going to go dark because we want to do something symbolically that has become kind of a tradition here, and it's just a picture of what happened. So Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to die. I mean, the light of the world had to be extinguished. I mean, that was the plan. And so I'll read from Isaiah if I can. Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. The light of the world had to be extinguished. So, we think December 21st is the darkest day of the year. Maybe we would argue that the day Jesus died for your sin and mine was the darkest day in history. But there was a prophecy, and Jesus told his disciples time and time again, I must go to Jerusalem, be tried, rejected, beaten, and die. But on the third day, On the third day, he rose again. The light of the world could not be kept extinguished. I'm sure Satan thought he won. But on that day, the light of the world rose again. And there were times he said crazy things. Excuse me, I did not mean to be sacrilegious. But it sounds crazy to me. Like to his disciples, you are the light of the world. And a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And then right before he left to go into heaven, he said, go into all the world and tell the good news. Go make disciples, baptize them, teach them everything I've commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always. Go share the good news. And we are going to do that symbolically by lighting one another's candles. Father, we thank you so much for our time of worship here. And I pray the songs that we sung and will continue to sing or hear played on our computers and on our Alexa devices and on our phones as we play them, Lord, may they resonate in our soul. Like Mary said, I magnify the Lord in my soul. And so, Lord, may tonight be a reminder that glory came down, arriving humbly, announcing the best news ever, that Jesus Christ is Lord and saves us from our sin to make us have peace with you. If there's anyone here who's not yet made peace with you, I pray they might this Christmas. And thank you that your glory that first Christmas prompted worship from angels and shepherds and, of course, others who would encounter Jesus in the story. Now may we go and remember it's all about Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.